Hallelujah. Well, if you'll notice up here behind us here, our yearly bulletin or flyer says 2013, coming to that higher place in God. And also the Lord give us the word debt-free in 2013. Amen. And to go along with that, I know you all see that up there. I know you know how to read. But to go along with that, I have a 2013 prophecy from Kenneth Copeland called A Year of Great Grace. A year of great grace. Amen. This is the word that Kenneth Copeland received for this year. And it says, stay where you are. Stay steady. Why? Your greatest blessing is ever at hand. No one can stop my plan for you. It is a blessed plan. Stay in my word. Stay strong in faith. Insist on walking in my commandment of love. No devil, no government, no man can curse what I have blessed. Believe that. Know that you belong to me, not the world. We will carry out the blessing plan together. I am teaching you grace. Keep it on your mind throughout 2013 and beyond, and never let it go. The thing that I can do that is exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think is to make all grace abound toward you. And that is what is happening for you and your country right now. Be blessed. Enjoy my grace. It is yours. That was the word that the Lord gave Kenneth Copeland. He shared it on his website, and I shared it with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a word for his encouragement. Amen. It all fits in with what we're talking about here. Come to that higher place. Amen. Great grace. How many of you have ever heard, you probably all raise your hand when I say this, but you've heard the word the definition of the word grace is unmerited favor. Anybody heard that? Unmerited favor? Can I say to you that the Lord gave me a revelation, not specifically to me, but I heard this revelation years ago. I never forgot it. And the word grace has so much more meaning than unmerited favor. So much more meaning. In fact, can I say to you that the word grace means the empowering presence of God in your life? Great grace, the empowering presence of God in your life. That's for me. The empowering presence of God in my life. Great grace. Hallelujah. Unmerited favor. We didn't do anything to deserve it. Can't do anything to earn it. Can't do anything to keep it. Amen. That's why it's called grace. But it's more than unmerited favor. It's the empowering presence of God in my life. Amen. When we put that definition on it, grace has much more. That definition has much more of an impact to me. The empowering presence of God in my life. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Amen. Hallelujah. I mentioned a while ago, and before I go any further, I kind of have a bittersweet emotion going on with me from what I heard from Brother Bishop a while ago. Amen. A bittersweet, and not that I'm bitter, but it's bitter to me, to my spirit, kind of, because I'm selfish. Amen. Because I enjoy Brother Bishop here. Amen. I love his input, and I heard him say, I'm pretty sure that he's going to start a church. Is that what I heard? Amen. I love Brother Bishop around here. His wisdom, his experience, his knowledge, his spirituality is something to not be taken lightly. Amen. But I know at the same time I'm not losing a brother. I'm actually, the family is increasing because I know we're going to be welcome there and he's going to be welcome here. Amen. And the family's just expanding. But it's bittersweet to me. I just want you to know that. I'm happy for you, but I don't want to see you go. Amen. But you got to obey the Lord. Amen. So you do what you got to do. Amen. That's what I think about that. Amen. For whatever that's worth, amen. And I do think I did mention a while ago about the men's retreat coming up. And I think I should repeat it again at this point right here because everybody wasn't here when I said it. Amen. The cost of the room is $30. Might as well say $30 per night. That means $60 for two nights. We did make $150-something, I believe, or $200-some dollars. $205. Amen. $205 in the garage sale. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. That is something to be proud of. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That goes towards to help the men. But I said a while ago that we have a spot reserved right now. We got 3 rooms reserved. That's for 12 people. Amen. Right now, there's 10 have committed to going, and we need to tie. We need to pin that 10 down. Forgive me for that word, but I don't know how else to say it. So we're asking for a $20 deposit towards your room. Amen. If you're a man going on a men's retreat, we need a $20 deposit by next Sunday, if at all possible. If you just don't have it by next Sunday, you can give Pastor Dave or me or Galen and say, look, I just don't have it, but I want to go. We'll understand that. We'll work with you. But if you don't have really any intention of going, we need to know that. So that's why this has been implemented. So by next Sunday, we'd like you to give $20 to Galen. He'll write your name down and the amount you give. Amen. And that will go towards your motel room. Amen. Hallelujah. And the reason I feel it needs to be done is because the church's credit card is on the hook for $700-some right now. Amen. So we need to figure out what we're doing and get it done. And in Ron's case, he's up in the air right now. He don't know. Amen. If you put your $20 deposit down and you don't go, you get it back. Amen. So but I'm believing you're going to go. I'm believing God's going to make a way. Amen. I believe when we seek to do the right thing, when we seek to honor God, when we seek to get along with God, when we seek what we're supposed to be doing, God makes ways. I've seen him do it in my life many times over and over. I didn't deserve it. It happened because I'm a child of the God, a child of the King. Amen. Just like you are. Amen. Open your Bibles, please, if you have them. Two. We're going to start out in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 16. I'm going to talk today a little bit about tongues. Tongues. I remember when I really got saved. Amen. I believe I got saved when I was a little boy, about 8. But I didn't know anything about how to be a Christian. Nobody taught me the way I was supposed to act. Or if they did, I didn't listen. It just didn't sink in. But I really got serious with God in 1992. And I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I remember telling somebody where I worked at Calmar, at Lee Summit, that I went to the Assemblies of God's Church in Lee Summit, and they spoke in tongues there. And they was like, do you really believe that? You don't, come on now. And I was a baby Christian, and I really didn't know how to respond to that. And it kind of hurt my spirit. Here, I've been around I've been around people speaking in tongues. I believed it, and now there's people talking against it. Guess what? There's people talking against it still today. Amen? There's people that don't believe it today. Amen? But can I tell you why I know it's true? I've mentioned this before. I don't like fake. I didn't like standing in a prayer line and feel like whoever was praying for me pushed me, so I had to be slain in the spirit. Amen. I was of the opinion that if God wanted to knock me down, that was fine. He knocked me down. I didn't need anybody to catch me. Amen. And I was of the opinion that if I was going to speak in tongues, it was going to be a God, because I wasn't going to just jabber. I wasn't into that. But at this church, I was a young, naive Christian, and they was talking to the pastor, Hardy Sampson was his name. God bless him. I still remember him. He said, hey, if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come up here to the altar. We're going to pray for you. So I go to the altar, and I feel people getting behind me, laying their hands on me. And I remember a teaching I received that said, if you want to speak in tongues, you got to open your mouth and let some words come out. He ain't going to force words out of your mouth. You got to say something. You got to open your mouth. So I didn't know what really to say, so I just started saying, thank you, Jesus. 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 Over and over in my mind, I didn't know what else to say. I just kept saying, thank you, Jesus. And the pastor, Hardy Sampson, was praying that I'd be baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I just kept saying, thank you, Jesus. And people was behind me, and I just kept saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And all of a sudden, I heard him say, he's got it. He's got it. I started listening to what I was saying after he said that, and I was shouting, in my mind, I was saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. I knew it was real. To me, it was real, because I wasn't saying, in my head. I was saying, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I know it's real. God proved it to me right there. Amen. Another way you can prove that speaking in tongues is real, I've heard this, this is not not my idea or not my thought or whatever. I heard somebody preaching that says, if you're talking in English about something, if you're speaking a sentence, telling somebody, explaining something to somebody, your mind can't think about something else. Your mind's got to think about what you're talking about. If you're explaining a red ball with white spots on it to somebody that doesn't know what a red ball with white spots is, your mind's not thinking about what's for dinner tomorrow, because your mind's thinking about how to explain to this person what a red ball with white dot looks like. But when you're speaking in tongues, you can think about whatever you want to think about. If you don't believe it, try it. Amen. That's how I know it's true. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not you doing it. It's the Spirit speaking through you, praying through you. Hallelujah. It's not about us. It's about Him. Mark 16:17 says, I'm not there. Amen. If you've been prayed for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you didn't receive it yet, you just keep saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You keep believing for it because it's a promise that's been made to us. It's still real today. Psalm 16:17 says, And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. There it is in red ink. Jesus said it. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. This is what Jesus said is going to happen to those that believe. Amen. There's too many people, Christians in particular, walking around in defeat. I just don't know if I can do that. I know what the word says, but I don't know if it's for me. You know what? The devil knows your weakness. Just like football teams play each other, they know one another's weaknesses, and that's what they attack. Amen. And guess what? The devil knows your weakness, and when he finds it, he attacks it. Why? Because that's your weakest point. Amen. God says, and these signs will follow those who believe. Does anybody believe in here? Every hand went up. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will speak with new tongues. It's for you. They will take up serpents. I don't care about handling snakes, but amen. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means harm them. I don't think that means for a moment I need to test God and drink some poison. No. But if somebody inadvertently gives me some poison and I drink it, it ain't going to harm me. Amen. Or if a snake, like Paul, got his hand bit by the snake, and he just shook it off in the fire, and they was amazed because it should have killed him. He wasn't trying to handle the snake. God protected him, amen? Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 1. Acts 2:30. Not 2:38. No, that was the joke. Acts 2:38. Acts chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 4. The heading of this verse of scripture here in my Bible is called The Holy Spirit Promised. Amen. Who promised it? That's what was promised. Who promised it? Amen. Hallelujah. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. What to say? You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And for them, it wasn't many days from then. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power. That word power right there is the word dunamis, the Greek word dunamis, which is where we get the English word dynamite. So I think that we need to get stick pins that say TNT on them. And wear TNT everywhere we go. And when somebody says, what's TNT mean? You can say, that stands for the power of God. Amen. Dunamis. Amen. I think it'd be a good thing. Hallelujah. I want some TNT pins made. And somebody says, what's TNT mean? It opens the door for the gospel. Amen. The power of God was promised to me when I received the Holy Spirit, and I would have dunamis. That I would have dynamite power. Do you know they still use dynamite today? Dynamite is a real reckoning force. They talk about bombs being the equivalent of so many megatons of dynamite. It's still a measure. It's still a force today. They still use dynamite today. Amen. Guess what? God's Holy Spirit still works today. Amen. And when we get, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues is just one part of it, but that's the evidence of it. Amen. And we're going to go over some of this stuff. Amen. And it says, but you shall receive TNT, dynamite power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the end of the earth. Let's go to chapter 2. Turn a page and go to chapter 2 now. This power that the Holy Spirit endues upon us, by grace, may I add, we don't deserve it. We didn't do anything to earn it. All we did was believe. Amen. We asked God to come into our heart, and we got baptized. And we're going to see here in a little bit, if I can remember where the scriptures are, I think I got it written down, where the disciples asked people, hey, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. You know now. Chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And it's not a Honda. Honda Accord, get it? And they were with all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. Could you imagine what they was thinking? That rushing mighty wind you heard there, I'm sure didn't do any justice to the rush of mighty wind that day. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I don't know how to say it. Amen. It was the Spirit doing it. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? Galileans didn't speak these other languages. Amen. And how is it that we hear each one in our language in which we were born? And here's the different languages. The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, joining Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Christians and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? It wasn't just one language the Holy Spirit was speaking in tongues through the people that got baptized in the Holy Spirit that day. As I just listed, there was from the whole region. Amen. Hallelujah. Go with me to Acts chapter 19. Turn over a few pages there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord wants me to say this again. If you've prayed and sought the gift to speak in tongues with If you've prayed and asked to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and it hasn't happened yet, don't give up. Amen. You keep thanking God for it. Amen. Hallelujah. 19:6. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, did you hear that? But when some were hardened and did not believe, guess what? There's some hardened and do not believe still today. There's some that are hardened and will make fun of you if you say you speak in tongues or they hear you speaking in tongues. There's some that will do that. It's nothing new. Amen. But Paul, it says, withdrew himself from there and went someplace else and taught. Amen. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Actually, back up to chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. If you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you keep thanking God for it. God keeps saying that in my spirit. Don't give up. It's for you today, just like it was yesterday. Don't give up. You keep believing it. And what I was taught way back in 92, wasn't that long ago, you got to open your mouth, though. You got to say something. Might as well say thank you, Jesus. Amen. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. This is spiritual gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Everybody say Jesus is Lord. Did everybody say it? Did anybody not say it? Okay, well, what did it just say? You can't say that unless, except you're being led by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what it said? That's what it said. Where was it at? Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Amen. We are a body of many parts, not only physically, but spiritually. We have a head, we have arms, hands and fingers, we have legs, feet, amen, and toes. And the Bible says that the hand can't say, because I'm not the arm, I don't have any use for you. Or the eye says, since I'm not the head, I don't have no need for the eye, amen. But we have need for all the parts, and we all have a part to play. And I like to use the analogy of a little toe. I mean, think about a little toe. It just kind of hangs over there in the side. It doesn't really do anything. But you get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and stub it, and the whole world stops till it hurts, till the hurting stops. Amen? That little toe is important. Hallelujah. It's the same way spiritually. We are a body. Amen? And when a part of us gets upset and leaves for whatever reason, if they get upset or whatever the case may be, the rest of the body suffers. We might suck it up and act like, yeah, we're spiritual. It don't bother me. We'll carry on. It still hurts. Forgive me for doing that, Pastor, back then. I got mad and left the church one time. I did. It had to grow some, amen? And when I came back, that's when I seen the sign that said, welcome home. Amen. I know God spoke to me through that picture on the wall. There's no doubt in my mind. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13, please. Amen. This is titled the love chapter. But it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Amen. I've been at places where a wife would go to church and the husband didn't. And he would say, I can think of one guy in particular right now. Well, my wife goes to church. I'm just not into it. I don't go to church. But my wife goes. Because I think I'm a pretty good person. I don't cuss. I don't go out carousing. I don't drink. I don't cheat on my wife. I don't do all these things that the sinners do. So I think I'm a pretty good person. I think God would understand. Anybody heard that? Guess what? Until you receive the forgiveness of your sins and Jesus into your heart, you're a sinner. No matter how good you think you are, you're not good enough. Amen. God says that our righteousness is as filthy rags to Him. Amen. I don't want to take a shower and get out and use a filthy rag to dry off with. Amen. Guess what? When you get washed by the water of the Word, you're cleansed. You're free. Amen. You can come up and you ain't got to clean off with a dirty rag. Amen. Hallelujah. I was wanting to read this, or going to this 13th chapter here, because it talks about tongues at the beginning. This is really considered the love chapter. And I think, and I know, I don't just think it, I know it, this is talking about agape kind of love, the kind of love God has for us. It endures all things, suffers all things. Amen. If you haven't read it, you need to read it. I'm not going to read through it this morning. Amen. But it talks about the love of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I love the fact that the Holy Spirit came upon them in the book of Acts, and they received power. Amen. Hallelujah. I received that power. I can speak in tongues. The Lord baptized me. Do I always feel powerful? No. Most of the time, I don't feel powerful at all. In fact, I don't know if I ever do. But I know the one that is. Amen. And I know where He is. Amen. His spirit and my spirit hanging out. Amen. We're hanging out together. Hallelujah. And guess what? When you go places where He tells you to go, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth, Kansas City, Independence, Lee Summit, wherever it is, guess what? He goes with you. And guess what? You have dunamis. What's dunamis mean? Power. Amen. It's time for us to quit cowering down because we're a Christian. It's time to come out of the closet. Amen. The gay and lesbian community think it's okay to come out of the closet and make their sexual orientation a priority for you to talk about. I don't care what they talk about. I don't want to know what they do. Amen. I want to know what Jesus does. Hallelujah. That was free. Amen. They want to make a big deal out of it, not us. And then blame us when we do. I don't care what your lifestyle is. I care what Jesus is doing in your life. Amen. That's what I care about. I don't want to know who you want to have sex with and how you want to do it. I care what Jesus is doing in your life. Amen. I care what He can do. Amen. And I know that if you're into drugs, alcohol, homosexuality, lesbianism, beast, whatever the sin, I know He can set you free. And all you got to do is ask Him. And He's waiting. Amen. To do it. He's just waiting. You don't have to get good enough. You don't have to get clean enough. You don't have to read 3 books and do 4 things. Amen. You just come to Him as you are and say, hey, I'm a mess. I need cleaned up. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue, listen to this, this is important. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Amen. It's a language that God gives you, that speaks through you, that speaks to God. I don't believe there's a demon in hell or the devil himself that knows what you're saying. I don't. Because it says they're speaking mysteries. It's a language. It's a heavenly language God give me to come out of my spirit to go back to God. Amen. We need to be baptized into the Holy Spirit. You need the power. The days are getting short, and the world's very evil. I don't have to tell you. It's on the news every day. Amen. The pastor's window got shot out in his van. That's getting close to home. Amen. Thank God no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Amen. I'm not worried about his safety, but, you know, that's a bunch of hogwash. People shooting one another. I could go on and on about that, but you know. Where am I at? For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. That's important. That's a key point there. You need to write that down. The first point I made, you need to write it down. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Are you having a bad day? Are you feeling down? Well, when you are, because it's coming, and when you do, because we're human, speak in tongues. It said it edifies yourself. Amen. It is not hard to do. When you receive the baptism, it'll just flow out. My spirit's talking. Amen. Amen. That's a key point. It's a mystery. It's mysteries in the spirit, and it'll edify you. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless, indeed, he interprets. Let me read that again. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless, indeed, he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Amen. I think there should be another teaching taught on prophecy. But today's is not on prophecy. Today's is on speaking in tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. Prophecy is important. Amen. Verse 6. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? If a trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? I can relate with that one because I played a trumpet when I was in school. And when I can remember when I first started playing, it was a bunch of blah, blob. Blah, blah, just blared, undetectable, unrecognizable noise. But with some experience, I can play that battle cry. Y'all recognize that one. It's time to go to battle. Why? Why do we recognize it? Because it's distinguishable. We know what it means. Amen. So likewise, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, I do not know the meaning of the language. I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for edification of the church that you may seek to excel. In other words, what it's saying here is, you desire to speak in tongues, you desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, amen. But when you do it in church, it needs to be interpreted, amen. Otherwise, those around you don't know what you're saying. It'd be like somebody here, I don't understand Spanish or very much of it, preaching in Spanish. I'd get a word here or a word there, or French. Or just about any language besides Chinese or Japanese. We could pick out a word here or there just about any language. This is some of the Asian languages. Amen. But we wouldn't be edified. Amen. That's the same way it is when somebody gives a tongue. When the Spirit speaks through you. When God speaks through your spirit. Amen. We need an interpreter. And a lot of times that interpreter is yourself. Therefore, let him, verse 13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Oh, I just said that. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? In other words, if I'm speaking in tongues, and I bless you in tongues, it says, how will he who don't know what you're saying say, know where to say amen, other than you stop? Amen. Hallelujah. At your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. This is Paul saying this. Yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Hallelujah. I'm going to start wrapping it up right here. It's almost 1 o'clock, and I think God has made his point. Amen. And the point is not so much that God thinks you want to speak in tongues, although that's the evidence of receiving the baptism into the Holy Spirit. That's what the Word says, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Amen. And if you're having a down day and you're just counting down the mother grubs, it says you can edify yourself. Speak to yourself in tongues. Amen. And it says that when the power comes on us, when we receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have power to do supernatural things. We get supernatural protection. Your window can get shot out in front of your living room not come nigh you. Amen. Supernatural protection. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. It's just like God, isn't it? Amen. I want somebody to design a stick pin that says TNT. And then I want somebody to ask me, what's TNT mean? And I could say, that stands for the Greek word dunamis, which means dynamite, which is what happens when I receive the baptism into the Holy Spirit. I receive power. Everybody say power. Power. Hallelujah. For the sixth time, if you prayed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you haven't had the evidence with speaking in other tongues yet, don't give up. God says don't give up. You keep thanking him for it. You keep opening your mouth. And as we read, it is a promise. It was in red letters. Everybody seen that? Amen. It's for you today. It's for me today. Amen. Hallelujah. I have a word for Vicky and Leroy. The Lord gave this to me a while ago. And the Lord said to tell you that you are important. You're an important part of the kingdom. And you need to quit thinking about, you need to quit putting yourself down. God says you need to quit putting yourself down. He don't want to hear that no more. You are important. You're a child of the King. You're the head and not the tail. You are important. He wants you to come up. He wants you to come up. He wants you to come up. Amen. And guess what? He gave you the strength to do it. Amen. All you got to do is do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the word today. Hallelujah. I know you made sense to somebody because you gave it to me. Hallelujah. And I thank you for that, God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.